So now this is on silent, so we're all right. Welcome everybody, and thank you for coming tonight. It's a summer evening, and it's close to a bank holiday, and our numbers are a bit lighter tonight than normal, and I suspect it's because it's a summer evening and it's close to a bank holiday. However, we have two speakers tonight, and our first speaker is Joy Hitlin Bailey, who's come to talk to us about relationships, both outer and inner, I believe. And I've heard about Joy for many years, so when I found the opportunity to invite her along here to talk, it actually filled me with great joy, because it's... Oh, sorry, that was not meant to be serious. Anyway, it pleases me so much to welcome Joy Hitlin Bailey. Joy, over to you.
And thank you, all of you, for coming, and thank you to Yes Bristol for allowing us all to be together for the next hour or so. I have to say that this is not my normal milieu, so forgive me if it's not perfect. I tend to work very intuitively, and to respond rather than give a lecture or a talk. That way of working is my strength. But I'm going to try to point to a few things about this vast and massively potent subject of intimacy and relationship. And I really welcome your input, your observations, your questions at any time, actually. We will have time at the end as well, but if there's something you're burning to contribute, please do, or ask. So it's my great privilege, really, to work in what is a very intimate way with individuals and couples and groups. And in a sense, there are two poles to what I do. And one feeds the other. They feed each other. So the core of the Secret Garden and the explorations that I invite people into is beingness. And I suppose we could say that that's an intimacy with oneself, or an intimacy with life itself, with existence. And I'm actually going to be mildly controversial and say that no intimacy is possible, no meeting is ever possible with anyone else unless there is a true meeting inside. And so a lot of Secret Garden exploration facilitates that meeting, because it is the scariest thing that human beings can engage in, probably. People go to war and might be in physical danger, and I would say that meeting oneself inside with all that can mean, embracing one's own shadow energy, one's own inner war and conflict, is equally confronting. It requires great courage. And I would really like to emphasize that I feel without that willingness to at least begin to meet oneself in all that humanity is, the dark, the light, the grief, the despair, the joy, the desires, it's quite impossible to have a relationship that feels intimate. Maybe close your eyes for a moment and just imagine a time when you felt really good. Just imagine that. You might have been watching a sunset. You might have been lying on the beach, your body warm. Or maybe you were holding your firstborn or secondborn. Maybe you were making love. I don't know. Imagine whatever comes to you as one of the best. and notice that in that memory there is real life. That memory might stimulate sensations in the body, thoughts about the memory, a desire to have more of it. Let yourself expand the memory just for a moment, just for now. Allow the goodness of the picture, the body sensation, the sound, to expand just for now. And double it. Double the sensation. And especially find the love in this memory, whatever that means to you. A love of nature, a love of family, a love of partner, I don't know, whatever that love is, allow it to expand now, even more, and more. You might find that your heart energy is expanding in the centre of the chest. Or you might find that you're aware of energy moving in your body in a different place than that. Whatever's happening as you are moved by this good memory, allow it to increase if you dare. Dare you feel this good, this loving, this easily. And again, double the sensation, the vividness of the pictures, the size of the pictures. Increase the sound. And let your whole being fall into the love. Let the memory love you. And as you acknowledge yourself as the creator of life, celebrate even more this love and let the love expand to fill this room, to touch the people around you here, connect you with the people here, and let it expand across the whole of Bristol, that love. Just be outrageously generous with this love, just for now. Just for a moment, I dare you to expand that love even more. Why not send it around the whole planet now, that love? Make sure your own life is absolutely saturated in this love. Everyone who touches your life receives this love now. Even more. And even more. Give it to yourself. And now let the love go. And stay with the sensational life of the body. Bringing a taste of this back as you open your eyes. Allow the body to be immersed in love as you open your eyes and come back into the room. Then we might say that love feels a certain way. Anyone got anything to say about their experience there? Just a word or a phrase, anyone? How was that? Was it easy or challenging or?
Very energetic.
Energetic?
Yeah, because you know.
You were aware of energy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. We are indeed energetic beings. This is how we create. And all too often in the busyness of life and in the culture we live in where we're bombarded with fear, most of the time in news, media, even pop songs, it can be a challenge to come back, but it's that easy to this state of love. But I want to put it to you that actually love is much more than just a state in the body. And I would hope that many of you access what we might call the state of love in the body just now. It's very powerful. Love and gratitude are the two most powerful creative energies we have at our disposal. And whatever you think about your life right now, whether it's working or not, you are using energy, the energy of love and gratitude, at times in your life to create goodness. And you can up the ante with that. It's just about consciousness. We're designed to consciously create using the energy of love and gratitude. I just want to go deeper than that. I want to talk about this word intimacy, which people have different meanings for. What does intimacy mean to you? Anyone? Yeah.
Well, I heard a nice expression recently which broke it down into seeing to see me.
Yes. Thank you. Into me see. Yes, into you see. Yes, that sense of this person really sees me is a beautiful thing, isn't it? This person really hears me. It's rare in our normal everyday experience because we're taught to turn the energy down. We're conditioned to be small. And the mind does that. The mind doesn't believe in love, it doesn't believe in intimacy, it doesn't know how to create those things. Somehow or other, our world is run by love anyway, so, you know, we don't need to worry too much. But if we want to live consciously, if we want our relationship to grow us, expand us, and celebrate us, then we need to start asking good questions about what is intimacy. How do I create it? How do I release it? You just imagined a time when you were in love, whether it was to do with a person or people or not. It doesn't matter. Because I would suggest that intimacy is something that we need to be willing to be alone for, which is quite a contradiction, quite paradoxical. I'll try to explain that as we go. There's a phrase, well, if we look at the word aloneness, for example, aloneness, it isn't so different than all oneness. And I want to put it to you this evening that there is nobody out there. There is nobody. You are nobody. At your heart, your personality is like the tiniest proportion of your being. Your personality thinks it can get what it wants to create happiness. And I would say to you that until these hard lessons of intimacy and aloneness we cannot find this all oneness where, as Joan described, we have a sense of I'm heard, I'm seen, I hear you, I see you. Way beyond I'll do a deal with you, give me what I want and I'll give you what you want, which never satisfies. And that's how most relationships work currently in our culture. So these three words are very linked. Unless we are willing to really be conscious about our aloneness, that nobody owns anything, that it's all up to us whether we create love in the body or not, or whether we create complaint and blame, unless we get that, we never have this. because there's a constant argument and resistance to life. And in this comes where what fulfills the yearning that's underneath every drive. All oneness. The taste of that is irresistible to all of us. Some of us are conscious of it, some of us aren't. But that yearning to be one happens when we're separate, when there's a separate personality that thinks it lacks. Let's imagine a relationship where you have two personalities who haven't had an education in what love is. They don't know what intimacy might be. They only know that they try to get what they need, but they fail over and over again. And in that failing, hard feelings get created. Blame happens, separation happens, distance happens. Many of the people in our current culture choose to live alone. I don't know the statistics, but it's a huge number. Because this is hard. To grow consciously and create intimacy with one other human being, or with a group of people, or with one's children or parents is hard, because it faces you with your personality and its edges. And that's very different than the love that you were in touch with a few minutes ago. And usually, the human response, when it doesn't get what it needs to be fulfilled, when it doesn't feel good in any relationship or connection, will run, either physically or inwardly. It will keep a distance to keep things safe. If I don't keep a distance to keep things safe, this person might see my ugliness. Or maybe the ugliness reveals itself and the other doesn't know how to cope, doesn't know how to receive it. And therein lies a huge tragedy, a tragic, devastating emptiness at the heart of Western culture. So I love to help people create fulfillment and joy and truly transformative relationships where there's a real willingness to grow the people around us, in our families and partnerships, a willingness to receive them in all that they are, and a willingness and delight in celebrating all that they are, without trying to make them fit our own perception. So that's what I do in my workshops and private sessions. But we're here to talk about intimacy, and I talked about sharing some keys to that with you. But the thing is, so I was at a birthday party on Sunday, and somebody asked me about the book I'm writing, and I said it was about intimate relating, and they said, well, what is intimacy? I don't know what it is. What is it? And it wasn't a question I was expecting in that situation. But what I replied was, intimacy is what happens when there's nobody and there's nothing. Intimacy is what happens when there's nobody and there's nothing. And so all we can do is point with words to that. And when intimacy arises, when it happens between two people, for example, or a parent and child, or even you and the postman one morning unexpectedly, that moment of meeting where there's no demand, no expectation, no agenda, just the silence, just, I see you. We've all had those moments, and it cuts through all the busyness and stuff and stupidity of life. But it's so easy to miss. And it's so easy to think we can get on a rat race and not need it. And I'm saying to you, it's what we need more than anything. Conscious touch. Conscious touch. Skin to skin. Conscious eye contact. Conscious receiving of the truth somebody's telling you without rejecting it. I feel this. Can you hear it? So anyway, let's see if we can explore some concepts. They're concepts, they're not intimacy itself. But it can help the mind start looking round the corner of the personality and making conscious. I mean, if I were to ask you, it would be great to hear some responses. If I were to say to you, what gets in the way of intimacy for you? What gets in the way of meeting a partner or a child or another human being?
Ego.
Ego?
Fear.
Fear. Fear of?
Rejection.
Thank you. What was that? Yeah. Fear of rejection. That's a big one, isn't it? Anything else that comes up as a defense mechanism against intimacy?
Anger.
Anger, fear of rejection.
Not worthy.
Yeah, that's at the root of a lot. Selfishness. Self-absorption, yeah.
Cultural expectations.
Do you want to say a bit more about that?
Well, there are cultural rules, mm-hmm. Behavioural rules that we all follow. Blackness. I've gone up to people and given them a hug and they've got what's going on?
So you do live in a very wounded culture, but things are changing. Consciousness is growing around this. If we look back one generation, there's so much more consciousness now about how, let's take a couple, how when a couple come into intimate committed relationship in a marriage, for example, they will inevitably bring the baggage of their parenting, and especially when they have children. And if that isn't addressed, that will kind of ossify the relationship so that there's a compromise but no meeting, no real aliveness. Because if you crush intimacy, you crush joy, you crush vitality, anyway, better move on. So self-responsibility for me is the key to intimacy. I feel this and it's mine. That's very different than you really piss me off when you do that, isn't it? Which, you know, it happens. It's fine, there's nothing wrong with it. And if that's all there is, the drip, drip, drip of criticism towards the one we're with or from the one we're with, that's going to create all sorts of resistance to any meeting whatsoever. So self-responsibility is a kind of, I am willing to feel the pain of this. This hurts. Close your eyes and remember the last time somebody apparently did something to you. Somebody hurt you, or pissed you off, or treated you badly. Remember that. Remember the pain in the body. Just for 10 seconds. And now give it some love.
tenderly embrace the hurting child. The innocent one, who in a sense doesn't get why the world is this cruel, really letting the pain and tenderly love yourself in it. Like you'd love your baby, or a child, or an animal. Like you'd love your lover if you had nothing else to do in the world and could pay total attention to that person. Really soak yourself in love. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And, you know, this isn't the final place to go into this deeply, but that's it, really, in a nutshell. Until you are willing to meet yourself, how on earth can you meet anyone else? Until you're willing to feel your own pain, and pain happens, how on earth can you receive your partner in it, in their pain? And if you're not willing to meet your partner in their pain, how do you heal old parental wounds that weren't given on purpose, were just given because the culture just didn't have any psychological awareness, really, compared to what we have now? So, you know, marriage, intimacy, relationship brings its shadow. And to ignore those, to go for, oh, I want enlightenment, and I want happiness, and I want it all now, is absolutely so untrue as a way to live. And a lot of our self-development culture is that way. It's a complete missell, because unless you're willing to relax with the shadow of life, you ain't going to get the goodies at all, because actually the shadows are the gateway through. You know, sometimes it rains. What to do? Complain? Or just be willing to get yourself warm and dry afterwards? That's all healing is. Getting yourself warm and dry after bad weather. And marriage and intimacy is the way to do that. How would it be if every time you made love with a partner, you healed each other, you enhanced each other's energy systems? The genitals of the human body are electrical. They carry enormous intelligence. The penis of the man is designed heal the woman's pain from the day. If the man goes to her unconsciously and he's angry from his work and he puts that into her body, she'll get angry 3 days later, guaranteed. She will carry his anger and give birth to it. Equally, if the woman makes love with a man full of resistance and resentment, but not owning up to it, he can't heal her. He'll just feel the emptiness. It'll feel like there's no meeting. So, again, I'm very passionate about this. It feels to me that the only way human beings can be happy is to actually crack this very hard nut of how do man and woman actually not only understand each other, but be happy together, and then create self-realized beings of each other, because that's what we can do. So that, yes, dysfunction arises, but it doesn't matter. It's like a cat fight and it's over. How would it be if conflict was over in 10 seconds and there was no residue? That's how it can be. But it requires education and commitment, and above all, self-responsibility. If you don't have this, you cannot love yourself. Therefore, your partner won't love you. It's all energetic. If you reject your own pain, your partner will do that too. So, another key to intimacy, transparency. Am I willing to be seen? On a gut level, you don't need to share this, but just percentage-wise, how willing are you to be really seen? You could check that out with your, you know, how willing am I to be seen with my parents? How willing am I to be seen with my partner, by my partner? Is it 100%? If not, why not? I mean, there's the gross expression of that where lies are told, you know, very big ones sometimes, secrets. But it's also, it can also be quite subtle. Oh, I won't show you my inadequacy because then you'll think I'm less. But transparency creates the gateway to an alive connection in small ways and in large ways. Are there any comments about this or questions? Experiences?
When I sit in my therapy room, one question I often ask clients in the early days is, do you love yourself? Do you care? Do you nourish, do you nurture yourself?
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary the percentage of people that simply either at that point start to cry or they just think. And I say, well, it's difficult to give out love if you aren't taking it in at the other end. You know? It's a cycle. And consequently, I think in relation to intimacy, I think we have to look at how we encourage people to truly value who they are and love and respect themselves, and that sometimes does mean overcoming old pain and letting go. But the starting point really so often for people, they're not even at the starting line, they're so far back.
Mm.
And we need somehow to help them get to a place where they can begin.
Yeah. And help each other, you know, it might happen in therapy, and that's a very structured and safe place to do it, because there's definitely one person there, hopefully, the therapist who doesn't have an agenda, if they're a great therapist, who will love you and accept you and doesn't need anything from you, is unconditional in their love. And hopefully it can happen within a family, within a relationship, within friendship, if you choose to live alone. These relationships also can be healing, therapeutic, and deeply intimate. But without transparency, without showing up, how? The other doesn't know who they're relating to. The deepest healing is in self-revelation. Self-revelation, transparency is the key to intimacy. Humour the mother. We're not laughing too much right now, but hopefully. Humour lightens. It means that there's no seriousness. Seriousness is the enemy of intimacy. It's not serious. Life is not serious. It's the most incredible game. It means nothing unless we impose meaning on it, and that is extraordinarily liberating, to really know that, to really know, to have plumbed the meaninglessness of life and come out the other end making your own meaning. This is meaningful to me. I choose it. What else? Oh yes, devotion. I'm going to be a bit controversial and call this worship as well. I would say that in intimacy, there is a seeing of magnificence. and I'm really not being flaky, I am very unflaky. But when there is intimate connection, there is an absolute seeing of the other's magnificence. And partners in particular can cultivate that. They can choose, even in the middle of a row, to stop and see and acknowledge, oh wow, you are extraordinary. How would that be if children were taught to do that? By their parents, by school. You are extraordinary, even when you annoy me. You are extraordinary. Even when you don't do that right, you are extraordinary. You are magnificent. I love you. So that's the devotional aspect of intimate relationship. It's the key, it's essential. Because it requires a letting go of the personal. If I see your magnificence, it means I've not got an agenda. I'm not trying to get something anymore. I'm not demanding you fit my projection of who you're meant to be. You're meant to be like my father. You're meant to be not like my father. These are projections. When two people try to come together through projection, they have to miss each other. And so a lot of healing of projection can be needed in order to create this sense of, oh my God, you are amazing. Even when you are untidy, even when you are late, even when, you are goddess. You are God. Personified. Good, isn't it? I mean, this is not romance. This is not romance. Romance is horse and carriage, you will love me forever, it's going to be really easy, we'll go on lots of nice holidays, have beautiful children, and won't it be lovely? And God help you if it isn't, because there's no education in romance. There's no consciousness in romance. There's just two people projecting an image. It's like watching a film, it's so unreal. But romance is fine, it's good to play at it, and life will always wake you up from it. And in that waking up, something more amazing happens, if you're open to it. Let's do a little exploration, I'm talking too much. Find a partner, either somebody you came with or somebody you don't know, and just turn so that you're facing them, if you will. And you're welcome to move around the room to find somebody. And it can be either man, woman, two women, two men, it really doesn't matter. Put your hand up if you don't have a partner. Perfect. All right. Okay, so just make sure you're really opposite. Move your chair if you need to, so you're comfortably facing each other. Either knees touching or quite close. And sir, I'm going to invite you into silence. Close your eyes. And just relax the body as best you can. And whatever you are feeling, give yourself some love. If you're feeling great, love yourself in it. If you feel a little tired, love yourself in it. If you're frightened of this contact, love yourself in your fear. So
you're aware of the other opposite you, but mainly your focus is inside. Eyes closed. Fully willing to be in touch with your own feeling life. This first key of intimacy. I love you. You're really great. See yourself. Appreciation of self. Gratitude. It is life. And just take a couple of deep breaths. What an amazing miracle just to breathe. How the mind takes that for granted. And another deep breath. And in a moment, I invite you, if you're willing, to open your eyes and just make eye contact without words, without defenses, as best you can. Coming into the room when you're ready and staying really in touch with yourself, really loving yourself in what you feel. Eye contact, just resting in that. And if you feel embarrassed or shy, just open yourself to that feeling. Being seen can be scary. Can be new, very new. So here I am, metaphorically naked. Just keep relaxing into that contact. You're going to be here for a while. And if you need to close your eyes at any time, just to connect again with your own being, do that. And if you're feeling a lot, that's perfect. Just let it happen, let the tears flow. If you feel resistant, relax. It's okay to be resistant to intimacy. Most people are. And keep relaxing with the breath and the body. Whatever you feel right now is so perfect. You don't need to do anything for the other person. You can let them have whatever experience they are having. Breathe in deep. Relaxing the face, the jaw, the shoulders. Let go, bothering about how the other thinks you are. The investigation is with you, not them. Am I relaxed? Am I happy with this? What's it showing me? you're here with your partner, there might be all sorts happening. That's fine. Keep letting go into this eye contact. There is truly nothing else to do. Am I willing to feel all the life here, whatever its colour, fear or desire or resistance or grief, just being with what you feel. Sweet love and tenderness to your own self. Notice if this seemed a long time, or like being in an oasis in a desert. Notice what the personality is with it. What is happening between you. How deep are you willing to be? How honest with yourself are you willing to be? Human are you willing to be? How tender. In a moment I'm going to invite you into a second phase. It's always just an invitation. You can just sit if you wish. This second phase will involve a few words. And the people who have their backs to this window over here, where I am, you're going to be person A. If you're facing the other way, the person who is nearest to me is person A. So make sure you know who person A is in your partnership. And close your eyes once more. And person A will begin. And you're going to, in a minute, hear a phrase. And all that you're invited to do is to let yourself be affected by the phrase, whatever way you are. And then you'll open your eyes and you'll say the phrase to your partner, person B. And they are just going to unconditionally receive what you say as best they can. They won't speak. They might feel a lot, or not. It's just an exploration in transparency. Second key. So person A, your phrase is, I'm sorry. And just as eyes close, let that phrase echo around your being. Find out what your relationship with that phrase is. How willing you are to say it. Does it bring up a memory? Or another person's face, this phrase? Just trust what comes. Just an exploration, and your partner won't respond. I'm sorry. Let it echo around you. I'm sorry. And now both of you and your partner should open your eyes, and person A saying three times, take your time, I'm sorry. close your eyes when you're done. And notice whether you're speaking to the real person in front of you, or maybe someone else, a memory, someone you used to know. And those of you who heard the phrase, what's it like for you to hear those words? I'm sorry. Is it a balm for you, a healing for you? Or does it bring up more resentment, more pain? Sometimes it does. Just be curious how these words, I'm sorry, touch you. And really be tender with it. Person B, your turn. Speak in a few moments. And your phrase is, what I love is. And you can complete that phrase however you wish. What I love is. Let it echo around your being. Notice your relationship with this phrase. How willing are you to be transparent in completing this phrase? This declaration. What I love is. Take a risk in completing this phrase. Open your eyes. Speak to your partner, what I love is. Let them see you and feel you. And you may repeat the phrase and complete it differently the second time. Try it out. What comes this time? What I love is. And again, what I love is. Close your eyes. And notice what this is like to be transparent. Feel yourself, love yourself where you are, whether you're in hurt child mode, or glorious adult man mode, or somewhere in between, whatever's happening, love yourself here. And as best you can, have an open heart for the other opposite you. I love you. I see your magnificence, just as you are. Breathe into your heart. Feel into your sense of your partner's magnificence, your way. Are you willing to lose everything for love in this moment? I feel your magnificence, I see it, and I celebrate it. Open your eyes and show them that celebration. If there's resistance, show them. Be seen in that. Be seen as you are. Love myself enough to let you see me. I love you and I celebrate your magnificence anyway. Whatever story has passed here, I'm willing to lose everything for love, just for a moment. Acknowledge your partner without words. Thank them without words. And let's turn face. You could turn this way. Most of us are English, I think. I think it's tea time in a moment. I just want to see if there's any questions or comments. How was that? What did you discover? Yes.
When you said about are you willing to let go? Yeah, that was really good. Because it's like this will. There's always like one little thing that you hold back on and hold on to, you know. If you can really let go, it's
thank you. That won't ever go away, that's it. Thank you for that. Anyone else? In you.
Yeah,
you and 99% of Western.
Right.
Yeah. What I love is your willingness first to be in this room as a caffeinated and stressed Western man. That takes balls. And also that you can see and tell the truth as it looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone else? I mean, I suspect you're at the beginning of a journey that is very rich if you choose to take it. Massive.
Mm.
Yeah. And between you, you have everything you need for that journey. I completely trust that. And I love your honesty and your realness. That's a key we didn't get to talk about. It's part of transparency. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else, briefly? Or shall we finish there? Great. Easy friendships are a delight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's how usual is that for that kind of exchange between you?
Well, we know each other for quite a long time,
yeah. I think it's, I mean, the human spirit is extraordinary in its capacity to recover and heal, and should never be underestimated. And you described an intensely difficult situation there. Actually, I would also say that any partnership is potentially extremely difficult at times. There is such stress, such pressure, and, you know, the difficulty with intimacy is that in this sort of structure or held space, where there's silence, eye contact, the difficult feelings come up sometimes. This was easy because you have a friendship, there aren't any major buttons being pushed. If there are, and the relationship is really meaningful in your life, an intimate marriage, where your parents or whatever, then there's a lot at stake. And when those difficult feelings come up, it can feel, oh God, push it down, pretend, don't tell the truth because it'll all go to pot if I do. That fear has to be respected and it needs tender care. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the relationship. Potential, if those feelings are there. It simply means there might have been neglect, there might have been miseducation, there might have been illusion and romance, and something else needs to happen, and that's good. That's a good wake-up call. And I suppose in true intimacy, we're always being woken up, every single moment. So it's been a pleasure to meet you. I wish we'd got ages together, and this has been lovely for me. Thank you for your trust.
Relationship is as much a spiritual spark as anything.
Absolutely.
And whether it's with somebody else, which is actually more difficult, but also a very powerful spiritual spark, if you treat it that way. Or if it's with yourself, and accepting and loving yourself is a spiritual spark as well. And it's been a great pleasure, really great pleasure, to have you come here and just talk to us and with us. Thank you very much again.
Thank you for creating the event, John. I really appreciate it. You're doing great stuff here.
Lots of wonderful people. Look.
And just on a practical level, I do just want to say that I am contactable if you feel drawn to this kind of conscious exploration. It really is the cutting edge. And if there are challenges you're facing in this area of relationship, then it is my area of expertise, and I would be delighted to hear from you. And I hope to see all of you again in whatever context. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you. Enjoy your evening.
There's time to chat with Joy in the break, and there's tea and coffee, I hope, in this pot, and hot water and stuff like that down there. We'll rejoin here at 9 o'clock, if you will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you.